chapter 7 and verse number 1. How beautiful are thy feet with shoes, O prince's daughter. The joints of thy thighs are like jewels, the work of a cunning, the hands of a cunning workman. Thy navel is like a round goblet which wanteth not liquor. Thy belly is like a heap of wheat set about with lilies. Thy two breasts are like two young roes that are twins. Thy neck is as a tower of ivory. Thine eyes like the fish pools of Heshbon by the gate of Bethrelibim. Thy nose is as a tower of Lebanon which looketh toward Damascus. Thy head upon thee is like Carmel, and the hair of thine head is like purple. The king is held in the galleries. If the Lord will help me tonight and you'll pray for me, I want to preach to you the photograph of the bride. The photograph of the bride. I wonder if one more time you'd lift your hands and ask God to help us. Father, we're here tonight now partly because of the kind invitation of Brother L.L. Collins and this church. But more so, God, we're here tonight because we are indebted. We are bound to preach the gospel. Therefore, I pray not, O God, for limelight. I pray not, O God, for the applause of my brethren, but I pray for that anointing, O God, that would come down upon me tonight, that Spirit of God that transforms a man into a prophet in the sense of the New Testament. I pray, O God, for divine victory, O Lord, upon the altars at the conclusion of the message. And God, if you'll stretch forth your hand this week, making bare your arm and confirming your word, we'll bow our heads and give you all the glory, for again we ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the congregation said amen. Amen. You cannot open a newspaper. You cannot turn on a radio talk show. You cannot gather where men gather and let them talk long. But they're not talking about the year 2000, the millennial bug, all that's twined with that. I have folks all the time asking me, Brother Gabbard, are you expecting the Lord to come back? Are you expecting some catastrophe? What are you looking for at the ending of this year and at the beginning of the new millennium? We have folks, Christian folks, church folks, that are buying guns and ammunition by the case. They're buying all kinds of canned goods and putting them back. They're making all kinds of preparations for all these things. But my answer, my standard answer is this. It does not matter. I'm not looking for anything greater or less in the year 2000 that I've looked for before. For since September the 3rd in 1970, when I prayed through to old time salvation, I have been looking for the great and glorious appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ. Tonight, my friend, reading the Bible from cover to cover, comparing Scripture with Scripture, I find nothing there that holds Him from coming. I'm not looking for a destiny after a while. But the thing that bothers me is, hey man, it's not whether He's coming then or not. It's not whether He's coming some other time or not. What's bothering me tonight is whether or not you'll go when He comes. For that is the question, my friend. It matters not when He's coming, if you're ready for His coming. Amen. In this book, the Song of Solomon, which some folks wonder how it ever made it into the Word of God, but it is one of the most glorious, intimately wonderful books that is there. Amen. It makes no sense to some folks because they cannot get beyond the carnal and the sensual. Tonight, if you will receive anything from God, you must needs dive it up a little bit tonight. Get your mind above that which is carnal, and we'll talk to you. The Bible says about this Song of Solomon that it is the Song of Songs. 1 Kings 4 and 32 tells us that Solomon ordered and wrote 3,000 proverbs and 1,005 songs. But this, the Bible says, is the Song of Songs. The chiefest, the most glorious, the highest exalted of all of His work. It as if was when the Bible talks about Jesus Christ and calls Him the King of Kings. Amen. And so this is a grand and exalted book. And the Holy Ghost would have me and you to know that there's things there that we must needs understand in the hour that we're living in. This is a love song. It makes some people nervous to talk about love, because love has been so degraded and so brought down and besmirched and wrapped up in sex that they don't know what they're talking about. But this song is a song of love about the divine bridegroom, Jesus Christ Himself, and about His glorious bride, which is the church of the firstborn. Amen. Amen. In this seventh chapter, these verses that I read in your hearing tonight gave us a word picture perfect of what the bride looks like. And tonight I intend to ask you the question, as I show you the photograph of the bride, do you see yourself there? For if you are not in that photograph, if you are not measuring up to that standard, if you are not inside that framework, then my friend, I must tell you, you ain't going when He comes. Revelation 19 and 7 said, "Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to Him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and His wife hath made herself ready." We who have this hope of being in the bride, we look here and see what the Bible says, and we can see if we measure up to the standard. For I want you to know that in this hour of easy believism, there's still just one way to the pearly gate. It's still the old crossroad and the way called straight. Amen. And in case you have forgotten all these years, it is just as common for me to preach holiness as it is for a church of Christ to preach water baptism. And I came here to preach it as often as they do. It is my doctrine. For without that holiness, no man shall see the Lord. And in spite of what's going on in the hour we're living in, with the help and the grace of God tonight, we shall look at what it takes to stand in that bride and go back when He comes. The first thing we look at here, the Bible said, "How beautiful are thy feet with shoes." Now, I don't want to inject too much humor here or lightness, but it's an evident fact, my friend, that when you looked at your bride, the first thing you noticed about her was not her shoe size or what she had on her feet. Amen. The first thing you looked at was not how she looked in her feet. But you see, Christ is concerned about the foundation. For it matters not how glorious the building is. It matters not what material goes into that building, what material caps that building, what things light that building, if that building is not established on a strong foundation. If that foundation is off when the building is done, my brother, the building will be off. Amen. And so in the very beginning here, we must take a look and see what we are founded upon. And so the Bible looks at the foundation and begins with the feet. I'm reminded almost instantly that the Bible said, and somebody quoted it a while ago, "How beautiful are thy feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things." It is not enough in the hour that we're living in to be evangelical. It is not enough that we are evangelical. We must needs be evangelistic. And one of the things that we as the Freeholders and Pentecostal people have lost is that zeal to win lost men and women. We have lost that desire to proclaim the gospel. It's not just a holding to the word, but we need a holding forth of the word unto a lost and dying generation. If there was ever a time when the world needs to hear the pure, unadulterated word of God, it is in the hour that we're living in. And we need a shoes of peace, amen, to bring forth the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Secondly, when I think of that feet, I think of walking. And the Bible says, "How can two walk together unless they be agreed?" This bride that we're looking at tonight is beautiful in her feet for the way she's walking. She is not staggering and swaying and dancing to the world's music, but she is walking worthy. I read in the Bible where the Bible talked about a man named Enoch, and the Bible said Enoch walked with God. There's numerous places in the Word of God where men walk before God and were told to walk before God. But this is one place where a man walked with God. It is important because this man that walked with God was translated that he should not see death. My friend, if you are in the bride tonight and you are walking before Him in the beauty of holiness, amen, then you are looking for His coming and you are communing together. The Bible talks about this word walking there means literally that they were so entwined in fellowship, that they were so at one in fellowship, that they walked together through a world of filth, through a world of ungodliness, through a world of iniquity, and Enoch did not even notice it. This bride had upon her feet shoes of peace. This bride was walking with her Lord. This bride in the very beginning is beautiful in her feet. Standing for the truth, walking in holiness, beauty in the bride, walking in holiness and living lowly, working before the Lord. And so first of all, my friend, in the very beginning, you are not in this bride unless you have got the right foundation. Unless you've been born again. And I realize in the hour we're living in, everybody's born again. But I'm here to tell you that when you get a real, genuine, blood-bought, blood-washed, Holy Ghost salvation, amen, it'll straighten you up in the way you walk. You won't walk where you used to go to. You won't do what you used to do. You won't be where you used to be. You won't get God in heaven tonight. You'll be walking with Him. Amen. Amen. I would like to talk them, but I got to go on. Let's look to the end. The next thing we look at, the Bible said that the joints of thy thighs are like jewels, the work of the hands of a cunning workman. Now, the thigh in the Bible stands first of all for strength. It is the largest muscle in the body. It is standing for strength. Jewels always stand for that which is everlastingly incorruptible and perfect. That's why the foundation of that city is built upon jewels. Amen. So we see here that not only is she walking, but she is standing in strength on the thigh, and the thigh is the promise. I am reminded rather quickly, and I must hurry here, but I am reminded of when Abraham looked at Isaac and called his servant and said to him, "Come here. I don't want my boy." Oh, I believe I felt him breathe on me. "I don't want my boy marrying into this heathen world." And could I tell you, if you don't want to marry the heathen, why don't you keep him away from where the heathen go? Hey man, how do you figure that you can walk with them? I'm going to tell you something. You can't soar with eagles if you run with turkeys. Hey man. And this bride, he said, "I want you to put your hand under my thigh and swear to me that you'll go and get my boy a wife out of his own kindred. I want you to swear to me that you'll see that we marry this thing right." When Jacob lay a dying, he said, "Joseph, enter into the oath and swear to me that you'll not bury me in this land of heathen, but carry me away where my fathers are." And oh, my friend, for years and years, the church of the firstborn has sung standing on the promises. I shall not be moved. Standing on the promises. My God, tonight, not only are we walking in the way of holiness, but we're standing on the promise of Almighty God. I said to you, the thigh means strength. And Jesus said, "Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." A young evangelist called me yesterday, or perhaps the day before. He said, "Brother Gabbard, it scares me to see the way that our movement is going." And I said to him, "Young man, Could I say to you, it scares me to see the way they're going, but I ain't going that way. Amen. And I'm here to tell you tonight, home, this ain't out of style. It may be out of style where you are, but there's still some folks that believe it like Grandma believed it. There's still some folks live it like Grandpa preached it. Amen. There's some of us, this church I'm talking about, ain't going down. We're going over. We're going out the other side. Great God in heaven, I'm not feeling like I'm shouting, but I need to preach to you a while. Preaching to you about if you're in that bride tonight, you will walk in holiness and a standing on the Word of God. Amen. We got folks worrying about losing the crowd if they tighten it down. Long about the first part of this year, Brother Benny, I got stirred up one day. Man, I wish that I got stirred better. I said, God, give me 25 people in the next quarter. In this first quarter of the year, I want 25 new people. Some of them's come in as backsliders. Some has come in as rank sinners. But the majority of them has come over to our church, driving sometimes 45 minutes to the air one way. You know what they're coming for? They're coming from the loose churches. They're coming from the worldly group. Amen. And you can't preach it too tight for them. You start tightening it down, and some of us been used to it. Take the tuck head and go to picking our fingernails. But these folks are sick of the world, but a man, they want something else beside the world. Amen. They're looking for something. I'm here to tell you tonight, the church that's going back with him is still standing in the promises. Hey, man. Great God. I'm looking for him. He promised when he left that he'd come again. Could I tell you tonight that I'm standing on the promise of the intimate, any moment. And if I lose you, bye-bye. But as sure as God made little green apples to fall the apple blossoms in the springtime, God Almighty ordained a rapturing of the church, a catching away of the bride before the tribulation period. And I'm not looking for Antichrist. I'm looking for Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm not looking for something to separate me from the love of God, but I'm looking for something that'll keep me in the hour that we're living in. Amen. And give me the victory when I go out of here. Standing on the promises. Amen. And I look yonder and see him, great God in heaven. So I'm about to feel like a preacher. I look yonder and see him. Amen. Riding on a white horse. I ain't never rode nothing much but an old mule. But one of these days I'll climb on a charger. Amen. And the Lone Ranger will have anything on me when he comes through yonder. But I see him yonder. And what's the Bible say? On his thigh was a name written. King of kings and Lord of lords. Lift your hands and praise him tonight. I hope you stay with me. But if you do or not, I got to preach to you. Verse 2 says, thy navel is like a round goblet which wanteth not liquor. We see here a navel cord that has been cut and perfectly healed. Immediately, I think of Ezekiel chapter 16, where God says to Israel, I found you where you'd been cast out in the field. Your daddy was an Amorite. Your mother was a Hittite. You was a heathen. You had been brought out there, thrown down. You had not been washed nor supple. You was laying there colored in your blood. And I picked you up in your blood. And I said, live. Amen. But the rest of that chapter is an indictment on Israel that when God brought them out and cut them off, they went back and formed allegiance with the things out yonder. I'm telling you tonight that if you're going back in the bride, if you'll be in the photo and caught in the frame, you'll be walking in holiness, standing on the promises, and you have been cut off from the world. The navel cord is where we draw our nourishment. It is a crying shame in the hour that we're living in that we had to find our entertainment in worldly amusements. The bride has been cut off and refuses to be fed from, I'm going to tell you something, friend. I've always been particular what I drink out of. I don't care how pretty they sing it. I don't care how coordinated their music is. I'm looking at the vessel it's coming out of. And if it's not a sanctified vessel, I'm not interested in it. We don't need another music group tonight. We don't need another one of these. My God, in the air we're living in, the poor old pastor ain't got a chance. Amen. They announced by and large a singing somewhere. You'll go and pay $15 to listen to some of these heathen sing that swap wives like they swap their clothes. Amen. And you'll go and listen to that much sing and come back and tell me how much you love Jesus. I'm going to tell you, friend, when you get weaned from the world, you'll come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and God will receive you unto himself. I'm preaching about, let me tell you something, friend, this bride of Christ is a virgin. She ain't whoring with the world. Bless God, you quit looking like the world, acting like the world, smelling like the world, doing what the world does. I realize what the young man said when it was worrying him, but I'm not going that way. When I got in this way, men reached across the pulpit and pointed a finger at me and said, "You live right and you spit white." They told me that if I wanted power with God, a good way to get rid of the devil was to fold his ears down, pull his tail out of the wall, and throw him away. Amen. They made me to believe that having a television for a Christian was wrong then, and it's real wrong now. Could I tell you there's no such thing as Christian TV? If you're left your feeding on that hen and chicken and the rest of that bunch, it's because your navel coat ain't been cut from the world. If you ever get what you need with God, you'll get rid of that junk, my friend. Heaven. Oh, hallelujah. I'm preaching tonight about the photograph of the bride. Well, they took the picture, and this is what showed up in the picture 3,000 years ago. I went last year and preached among folks that were worldly, that the early 70s, when Brother Collins took me among them, Brother Benny, they were the elite of the holiness movement. They looked down on us on this side of the Mississippi because we was worldly. Oh, they still ain't got a television. But I tell you what, when I preached on VCRs, them old hard preachers begin to sit down and pop down here, yonder, and somewhere else because they bought into the idea that you can get at you a VCR. And now they're saying it's all right to watch the movie as long as it is rated PG. I'm here to tell you the thing that's wrong with them is they got their navel cord hooked up to the wrong thing again. They quit drawing from the world. The Lord has started drawing from the world. Amen. Well, if you don't like it, lump it. Amen. I come here to preach to you tonight. You might never get, I want you to know tonight one thing. You sit down in front of that thing, stick it in there, and you will go to hell, my friend. Amen. I come here to preach. Maybe one night's all, but I come here to preach to you on the photograph of the bride. And if you ain't in it, you ain't going. You say, who do you think you are? You holier than thou? Could I tell you, it all depends on how holy thou art. Because if you got that thing in there, you ain't holy, friend. And yes, sir. You get your navel cord cut from the world, you'll come out from among them. You'll be separate. You won't look like them. You won't dress like them. You won't follow their fashions. You won't fix your hair like they do. You'll come out from among them and be like we ought to be. Amen. Amen. Oh, Sister Ann, pray. I'm sure you are. God help us. I got to hurry. Dangerous to preach on this side of the river past 9 o'clock. He says, thy belly is like a heap of wheat set about with lilies. Tells me here that the bride is fruitful. She is reproducing after her own kind. We wait for some super duper evangelist to wow us and get hundreds on the altars and get them saved. It's not the pastor's job. It's the pastor's job to feed sheep, to watch for the wolf, to lead you beside still waters. But it's the sheep's job to reproduce. If you're going to be in this bride, oh, I realize I've heard folks say it, and I know what they're saying. If I can just make it to that city, if I can just make it. But could I tell you, this bride has got something about her that she don't want to just make it. She wants to walk up before him and say, here's what you give me, and here's what I've done with it. We want to go yonder saying, bringing in the sheaves. He that goeth forth, amen, bearing precious seed and weeping, shall doubtless come again rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. If you're going to be in this bride, you're going to have to reach out to the lost men and women of this world and show them something more than they've got in this hour that we're living in. They are dying. They're on their way to hell. And they need to see somebody with the joy of the Lord in their heart. They need to see somebody that's saved and sanctified and happy because they are. Oh God, I gotta hurry. Oh, I want to go to heaven. But I'd like to take somebody with me. Oh, I've been praying. That's why I got started first of the year. God, send somebody. If these people I'm preaching to don't want it, send me somebody that does. Let me reach out to somebody in the hour we're living in and tell them you don't have to die like that. You don't have to die where you are. Go out there and find them. My God, if these folks sitting around don't want it, get out here in the bars and find them. Get them saved and bring them into the house of God. Get them sanctified and filled with the Holy Ghost and watch them grow for God. Then he says, thy two breasts are like two young roes that are twins. What we need is not just the ability to birth them, but we need a church of the firstborn to become a postnatal clinic. We need to suckle them and feed them. Not just the right dispensations. Not just teach them dispensations, but show them a disposition. We have fallen a long way from grace, my friend, when you make jokes about being sanctified. I don't care if you're progressive, definite, or definitely progressive. If you die unsanctified, you'll go to hell and burn with a drunkard. And more than anything, in the hour we're living in, the world needs to see some sanctified, holy men and women. Amen. They need you with the right disposition on the job. They need to see you on the job and with the joy of the Lord in your heart and the victory of God in your soul. We need to feed them. Could I tell you... I have a lot of young preachers, and sometimes I get invited to go somewhere and preach. Sometimes it's a help to be under me, and sometimes it's a hindrance to them to get in some churches. I say, if that's one of John Gabbard's, he's already indoctrinated into that stuff. But I want you to know something. That's right, my friend. I have indoctrinated them in the things of God. But I tell them that don't you go and say, bless God, I give them the word. Because I may lose you right here, but the word, giving them the word is not enough. What'd you say, preacher? I said, giving them the word is not enough. For in 1 Thessalonians, Paul said, we were not only willing to impart unto you the gospel, but our very soul. You know what this world needs? Amen. This bride had the ability to feed the flock. This bride had the ability to give forth nourishment. The mother feeds the baby out of what she has eat herself. And if you feed them what's in you, what are we going to have? If every member in my church was just like me, what kind of a church membership would it be? I'm telling you that this bride was feeding them from herself. I tell them, let me see your text. Let me see how many tears have stained the Bible beside of it as you've looked and realized what it's going to do to lost men and women. Oh, it's one thing to bust them for using their tobacco, but it's something else to tell them Jesus Christ come to set the nicotine addict free. Amen. In this hour that we're living in, we have had as many spoiled through the wrong feeding as we have through those that just backslid. We need to feed them. A few days ago, one of the highest compliments been paid for a while, a young preacher fixing to take a mountain church. Brother L.D. Moore looked at me one day, as only L.D. can. He said, "Brother Gabbard, mountain people, they different. Mountain people, they different. They are different." And this young preacher come to me and my wife and said, he and his wife sat down with us. We want to talk to you. And he said, "I'm fixing to take this church." He said, "Now, I'm serious about this." He said, "I see that you've come into the mountains and that you have preached the doctrines, the grand doctrines of the Word of God. And you have got a people that loves doctrinal preaching." You know what he's talking about. Most of us grew up where they wanted to run fast, play it louder and louder and louder and louder, and shout. And if you tore the house down, it didn't matter if you preached the little black trains are coming or anything else. Oh, I remember that get so mad when I'd preach on the rapture of the church. Lord, rapture ain't in the Bible. I'd say little black train ain't either, but you sure tore the house down when they're singing about it. He said, "I wonder how you did it." I said, "All you got to do is let them know that you love them." When I open the book and stand in the pulpit, I ain't got any friends. And I'll preach sometimes and they say we're the meanest people in the world, but they don't know, Sister Collins, the nights we walk the floor and weep and cry. And oh God, what could we do for them? They're going to, "Oh Lord, stop it. Don't let it happen that way." But you go right back and preach to them again, knowing it's going to offend them, knowing they're going to raise up against it. But you've got to declare the whole counsel of God. But it's when they know, that you love them, you can preach to them. Amen. Amen. It's not, oh God, it's not because we're hard and we're mean, we want to deny him something, but it's because we love you. Let me tell you something. I'm glad that God can set the drunkard free. I'm glad that God can go out there and bring them in. But I'm looking at a bunch of young people that I believe God can make a Joseph out of and a Daniel out of. That you don't have to go out and live like the devil. You don't have to go out and be some kind of a wild man and come back in. You can have the resolve in your soul if you get it right. And that's what we're talking about. This is the bride that I'm looking at tonight. Amen. Not only is she standing, not only is she walking, not only is she bearing fruit, but she's suckling the young and feeding them after they're born. She's feeding them the sincere milk of the Word of God that they might grow thereby. I lost a friend. He wanted to pattern his life after my life and after my ministry. You know what? I speak as a fool. We're running the largest number of people in any mountain church that's been in that country that's ever been known of that didn't compromise. There's no tobacco growers in my church. There's no television watchers in our church. There's no jewelry in my church. We're running up towards 200 people almost every service. I'm telling you that what they're hungry for, they're sick of the SERP of this world. They're sick of this group. I got 25 people coming because they're sick of the world. They're sick of the easy believism. They're sick of all that stuff. They want something that'll feed them. And I lost a friend because I told him, I said, "Look, it's not just the miracles. I could have 500 people, Benny, if all I did was major on the miracles. But the gifts of the Spirit are confirming the Word. And that's the only thing they confirm. Any man that builds a ministry on anything but the Word of God, watch it, it'll fly apart somewhere down the road." And I told him, "If you want what we got, you got to preach on justification by faith. You got to preach on the Trinity. You got to preach on the prophecy. You got to feed them from the Word of God. Preach sanctification. Preach the great truths." But he wouldn't pay the price to do it. And he's trying to run on the milk of this world. And after a while, it'll run out, friend. Great God. Now here is the neck. It says a tower of ivory. Not stiff-necked. Not proud. But resolved. I tell my young people that go to school, you don't have to go up to school and hang your head be a wall flare on the side because you don't wear the kind of clothes they're wearing, because you don't cut your hair and wear jewelry and makeup like they are, but you can walk proud and tall, hold your head up, and if they ask you why you're doing what you're doing, you tell them what the Bible said. My boy is here tonight, and one of the proudest moments he ever made me was when the coach came to him at school and said, "Brent, I was raised Pentecostal. I have a holiness background. I understand holiness people. I believe if you let me talk to your daddy, he'll let you play on the basketball team. If necessary, we'll all dress out in jogging suits. If that's his problem, we can get around that. But let me talk to him. I understand." He said, "Sir, you don't understand something. It's not my daddy's conviction, but I have a conviction against playing the competition sports. I'm a born again, blood bought child of God. Amen. This bride has got a neck like ivory, and she's resolved not to give in or bow down to the wall." Amen. Our kids are ashamed of it because we act like we're ashamed of it. Bless God, I still like the way the rich man sings. I choose to be a Christian. I choose to be like this. I'm a living like this because I choose it. I'm a living like this because I love it. Because I got my bride one day, and I'm going yonder with him, and I keep falling in love with him over and over and over and over again. I'm a hurrying. I am, but I got to say a few more things. Thine eyes are like the fish pools of Heshbon. Those fish pools were known for their purity and the clarity of the water. And I heard the Bible say, if thy eye be single, thy whole body is full of light. Where their people have no vision, they are made naked. They perish. I heard Job say, I made a covenant with my eyes that I'd not look on a maiden. Amen. This bride don't have eyes for anything but him. She don't have eyes for anything but him. When she saw him, everything else dimmed. Nothing else mattered anymore. I still believe if you see him like I saw him, you'll not throw him down for the trinkets of this world. You'll not take off after something else. I still believe when you get your eye on him and you get your vision cleared up and you can see what's yonder, amen, you'll keep falling in love with him. You'll keep following after him. Nothing will pull you. You won't be tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. He said, because I love him. And I heard him say, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And they're not grievous. The nose is like the tear of Lebanon, which looketh toward Damascus. Damascus is the city of riches in the Bible. And her nose ain't rooting around in the things of this world. But she's pointed in the direction of a city. Now the eyes can see things way off, but the nose is closer. If I had time, we'd read back yonder where a few days ago he knocked on the door and she didn't get there in time. But when she touched the door handle, she could smell his aftershave. If I had time, we'd go, oh, glory to God. We'd go down a little further here where we'd talk about the kiss was sweeter than wine that made her talk in her sleep. And I'd ask you, have you ever got close enough to him that you woke up in the night speaking in tongues and talking about heaven and glorifying God? Great God in heaven. Amen. Get close enough that you can smell the sweet savor of it. Get close enough that you can hear him say, come my love, my dove, my fair one. The head like Carmel. Now on Mount Carmel is where Elijah called for the test of fire. It was on Carmel where the fire fell. Brother Johnson, you may remember old Brother Howard down at Andy's church. Old Brother Howard, I don't know how old Brother Howard is. He's way up in 80, I reckon. 89. You ask him to testify. His hair is snow white. 89 years old, he'll get up and somewhere in his testimony, he'll say there's snow on the mountain, but there's fire in the boiler. And that was on Mount Carmel that the fire fell. And I'm reminded the Bible said on the day of Pentecost, when they were all gathered together in that one place, in one accord, that there came a sound like a rushing mighty wind, and tongues of fire hit that place and set upon every one of them. This bride is walking in shoes of peace, standing on the promise, bringing forth fruit, separated from the world, great God in heaven, and she got fire on her head. Amen. She ain't dead, man. There's a fire burning. There's a Holy Ghost fire moving up and down the avenues of her soul. Her hair is the color of purple. Hey, that really sounds crazy, but it stands for separation and purity and royalty. And yes, my friend, in the hour we're living in, God still cares what you do to your hair. Amen. The Bible said, and the king, oh glory, and the king is hailed in the galleries. Do you remember when Stephen was being stoned? How that he looked up and the Bible said the heavens opened. And he said, I see Jesus standing at the right hand of God. I believe if the persecution and the martyrdom of one of his people brought him to his feet with what's going on in the world today, when the real blood-bought children of God are standing, how can you imagine what it must be like yonder somewhere as he stands posed on the very threshold of God? How the angels are saying, not yet. The Father saying, wait a little while longer. He's about ready to come back. You know what? He's wanting to come and get you a lot worse than you're wanting to go. Amen. And I'm looking for the coming of the Lord at any moment. I'm here to tell you tonight that if you're going in the bride, take a long look tonight at what this mountain preacher's told you as I read to you out of the book what the bride looked like. And if you find yourself coming short, let's come to the altar tonight and ask God to help us to get ready. For as sure as we're here tonight, there's not much longer to get ready. We're about to wind this thing up and the church is a going home. And here she comes, and what a thrill. Here we come walking up Giant's Hill. The sound I'm looking for tonight is the sound of the trumpet and the voice of the bridegroom saying, come, my love, my dove, my fair one, come away. In this hour that we're living in, oh, if he had just come tonight, and the Spirit says come, and the bride says come, won't you come? As much as lieth in me tonight, I have preached to you the Word of God. I've shown you the frame, and we've looked at the photograph of the bride. And if you do not measure up there, don't get mad at the preacher. Don't get mad at the man of God. But before you write this off as the babblings of some wild man, talk to him about it. Ask him about it. Tell him, Lord, show me if it's right or not. For if the Lord's are coming back, I want to go back with him. I don't want to be left here. I want to be part of that bride. And as sure as we're here tonight, if you can't see yourself in the picture, then you're not in the bride. And that's what we're here for tonight. There's a move on in the land. There's a move on of God in this land. It's in our country. It's in your country. It's across the country. Backsliders are coming back to God. Sinners are stirred across the country. It's the last stirring. The last altar call is about to take place.